Certainly is good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. Hope that you can be back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. If you were not here last week, I want to encourage you to go to SweeneySermons.com. That's a new blog that I've started where I'm posting my outlines and things. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but last week was my 20-year anniversary here. And so last week's sermon was a little different, and if you haven't heard it, I really would like for you to. It was kind of my feelings for you guys and being here, and I'd really like for you to hear that. So if you could, please do that. Also, if you're having trouble sleeping, please go and play one of those. You can go to sleep to the soothing sound of my voice. This week was very interesting for us. Now, many of you know last week from talking about Jonathan's issues, he had passed out three times this time last week, and he passed out again Monday. We took him to his heart doctor on Tuesday, and he sent us to Vanderbilt. We spent a couple days there, and if you ever want to fix a problem, just take the boy to the hospital and all his symptoms go away. And so then we can't get to the root of it. So as soon as we got there, no more issues. So they did increase his medicine. We don't know what caused it, but we have a plan going forward to possibly try the surgery that we tried back in November of 14, perhaps in June. We'll let you know on all that. But he's doing good right now, and he's tired of us talking about him. And he's a cranky teenager, and so things probably are about where they ought to be. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 this morning. Luke chapter 10. We studied through the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, as we do that, often we see the point, the big point about who our neighbor is. Now, often when we talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's what we talk about. Who's our neighbor? And we talk about the fact that everyone is our neighbor. But there's some other lessons, I think, to be learned here as well. There's other things that we can take from this and learn. Now, some of these lessons can hit close to home and cause us to think. And as we do that, I think it's important to examine some of the characters in the story that Jesus uses, and specifically the one who set it all up. So let's look at some of those lessons this morning. First, we start with the lawyer. Luke chapter 10 in verse 25, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" That kind of launches us in, and that's why we generally talk about who our neighbor is. But as we start and look at the lawyer this morning, I think it's important to notice what he was trying to accomplish. He wanted to test Jesus. He wanted to put him to the test. Oftentimes in the life of Jesus, that's what they were trying to do. They're trying to trip him, trying to trick him, trying to get him caught in his words. And here he just simply wants to put him to the test. Now, how's that a lesson? How's that something that we can think about and talk about today? Do you think people want to put Christianity to the test today? Do you think people want to challenge Christianity? Try to catch us, try to trick us, try to get us to say or do things that would bring a bad light to what we believe and what we teach. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of things that are happening, a lot of things we could talk about, a lot of things that people want to use against those who are Christian, but we have to be careful how we answer. We must remember something very important about this situation. He's putting Jesus to the test. He's calling into question who Jesus is. But you see, when Jesus responds, he responds from a place of authority. Jesus can say exactly what he wants to say because he's sitting in a position of authority. He is the Son of God. He is deity on earth. as we respond and as we think of situations where we may be tested or someone wants to put our faith and our belief to the test, we need to be careful how we speak on those things. The authority belongs to Jesus. Oftentimes we can be tempted to, in a sense, put somebody in their place or to lash out angrily. But when we're put to the test, we must remember this is a part of it. And what's our goal? What's our plan for how we move from that? We must use the words of Jesus, but we must not talk down to people, but simply show the light of Christ to them. They may test, they may challenge, they may try to trick us into saying things we shouldn't. But the temptation is there to lash out angrily. You've seen it, haven't you? Haven't you seen people use Christianity and they get red-faced and they get angry and it's not a good look, is it? It doesn't come across well. Jesus spoke from a position of authority. We need to realize that when we speak, we need to speak from Him. Let Him speak through us and not on our soapbox or from a pulpit. But to speak the truth in love as He wants us to. We may be challenged, we may be tested, but that's not a reason to respond angrily. The lawyer also teaches us something here, and he wants to justify himself. And it very plainly, he was desiring to justify himself when he says, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus challenges the lawyer by telling the story. And this story was going to be challenging for anyone who held pretty much social beliefs to the norm in that day. This story is one that brings to light some things that might be uncomfortable. And it talks about righteousness here is about more than just following commands. It's about the commands changing who we are. Following Jesus is more than just, hey, well, I love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and mind. You know, I know the commands. I can quote those commands. I can tell you what the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots are. I can list those things. But boy, when Jesus tells the story, He really challenges us to look further into those commands. What does it mean to love God with all your heart? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? How does that impact the way we treat people? We want to justify ourselves. That's a tough thing to do. We need to live out the commands and let God do the justifying. You know, in our day and time, when I think about people trying to justify themselves, I can't help but think about how our world has changed so much. You know, with social media, it's almost a competition, isn't it? It's a competition. Whose kids are cuter? Who's got the better story? Who's traveling on the best vacation? Who this, that, or the other? But you know what also comes into that is how we compare ourselves to other people. And we can find ourselves in a position where we're trying to compare our Christianity with someone else's, and we want to justify ourselves because I'm better than that. That's difficult, isn't it? That's a tough place to be when we start comparing ourselves to other people. You know, this problem is worse because of the social media aspect. But here's a point that needs to be understood. Comparisons are meaningless. My relationship with God is mine. It's mine. God will judge me based on how I lived my life, not based on how someone else lived theirs. There's not going to be a scale. Well, if you lived up to so-and-so, then you're okay. That's not how it works. Our lives are our lives. What we do is what we do individually. And you know, we're all different. Isn't it good that God's going to judge us based on our own merit and not compared to someone else? It's all about us. It's all about us and Him. Comparisons are meaningless. And unfortunately, we live in a society that's all about comparison. It's all about, look at me, or look at them, or how do we compare to that? It's not about that. The lawyer wanted to justify himself, and a lot of people today want to justify themselves. based on how they rate to other people. It's not about that. My relationship to God is my own. And so is yours. God's not going to judge you based on someone else. He's going to judge you based on you. And that's all that matters. We don't have to compare ourselves. We don't have to live up to anybody else's standards. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. Because it doesn't matter. It's about us and Him. A couple other people in the story that we look at as we begin reading through the actual parable itself in verse 30. It says there, Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. As we look at that, we have to admit that the religious people in the story don't come off looking very good. They don't look too good. These are the religious people. This is a priest and a Levite. These people serve God. Their job is to serve God. That's all they do. It's in their name, the priest and the Levite. Their job is to carry out what God wants. So they don't come across looking very good, because not only do they not help, but they go to the other side of the road to keep from helping. They pass by on the other side. They ignore a person whose need is very immediate. Hey, he needs somebody right now. He's been left half dead. He's not going to fix this himself. He needs somebody to do something right now. And neither one of these is going to be bothered to stop and help. Now, I don't know. Perhaps they were late to somewhere. Perhaps they were afraid that they would be next. Perhaps they were worried about their ability to serve. You know, if you go back to the old law, there were some very strict laws about touching someone who is sick or touching someone who might be dead. They may be wrapped up in, I can't do what I'm supposed to do if I do this. But what does Jesus leave us the impression with? He leaves us with the impression that they just simply don't care. They don't have the time for this. At the end, what we know, they did not help. And that's what they're known for. You know, Christianity is not something that's only practiced on Sunday between these walls. It's something that should affect us every day. It's something that should affect our lives every day and should cause action from us. It's not something that we just do on Sundays. Unfortunately, for some people, that's all Christianity has become. I went to church. But when it comes time to help people, that's somebody else's job. That's not Christianity, is it? That's not what Christ is talking about here. Who's my neighbor? Everybody. These two did not have the time to stop, or did not take the time to stop and help someone who was in need. The religious people did not come off looking very good. When we ignore someone, when we simply practice religion on Sundays, we don't come across looking very good, and it leaves a bad taste in other people's mouths. So then you look at who really made the difference here. The Samaritan in verse 33, it says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Of course, the question then is, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? This is the way Jesus liked to do things sometimes. He would take a story and he would tell it in a way that you knew the conclusion. You knew the answer, but you might not like how you got there. And that's exactly what he does here. You see, he uses an unusual circumstance and he puts two people together whose interaction probably would have been very different had it not been the situation it was. Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. They hated each other. They did not interact at all. For this to happen, and for Jesus to form this story where the lawyer has to come back and say, well, it was the Samaritan. He wouldn't even say the Samaritan. Notice the words he used, the one who showed mercy. He wouldn't even say the Samaritan. That's how much and how deep-seated the hatred was between these two people, these two sets of people. And yet the one who stops, the one who helps, the one who makes the gesture is the Samaritan. It's the unusual. It's the unlikely. That's the point, isn't it? That's the point. We get a reputation for being church people who only want to be around and practice our righteousness in front of church people. Don't we? Doesn't that happen? We only want to be religious with our religious people. And church is for the religious people. Not the case, is it? That's not what Jesus is promoting. That's not what we're talking about here. Jesus had to make this Jewish lawyer point to the Samaritan and say, that guy did the right thing and the priest and the Levite did not. He wouldn't say Samaritan, but he had to draw the conclusion that he was the only one who was willing to do something and move in the right direction. Are we willing to reach out and help those who are different from us? That's the question. That's an important question, I think, to consider in the changing day and times that we live. How do we interact with those who are different from us? How do we deal with people who are not the same, who don't think the same, or who are not like we are? We like church comfortable, don't we? We like to feel comfortable. I'd say that's safe. We generally do that because we like the people that are there, right? We like to feel comfortable around the people we feel comfortable around. We like to surround ourselves with people we like, that like us, that think like us. And who needs the gospel in Gadsden this morning? Who do we know that's wandering, that's lost, that needs help, that spiritually they're on the side of the road and they're dying? Who is that? I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to start a religious conversation because it might make someone mad. I don't want to offend somebody. Is that any different from passing by on the other side? Well, I'm busy today. Boy, and it's easy to be busy, isn't it? None of our calendars are empty, right? We all got things to do. But who's dying? Who's missing out? They may not look like us. They may not always talk like us. They may not think the same things that we do. But boy, they could use a hand. We got to find them. To too many people, church is a place you go. To too many people, Christianity is where you go be with saints. And what it needs to be is a place for everybody, for anybody, where all are welcome, regardless of what brought you here. The gospel message is the same for everybody. We can't pass by on the other side. We need to find those who need us. Obviously, as we look at the parable, we know that the answer to the question, who's my neighbor? Well, everyone is. Everyone's our neighbor. Anybody can be our neighbor. Jesus illustrates that very plainly with this parable, and he sets up this scenario where someone wanted to test him, and that lawyer had to leave a little unsatisfied. But the truth is, if we follow his teaching, if we follow his example, and we live out this parable, then not only will we be satisfied, but we bring satisfaction and salvation to someone else. Our Christianity is to be practiced all the time as we reach out to people who are in need. Jesus ends this parable very plain. Go and do likewise. That's our encouragement this morning. To simply go and do likewise. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Christ. We want to encourage you to do that. You've heard the message of Jesus, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, being clean and whole in His sight, coming in contact with the salvation that He offers. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've wandered away and you need to come back. His arms are outstretched. He wants everyone to be saved. What a great day it would be if we could celebrate with anyone that wants to unite with Christ today. If you have a need, won't you come as we stand and sing?